Blog Talk Radio.
Consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Dear Great Pumpkin, I'm looking forward to your arrival on Halloween night. I hope you will bring me lots of presents.
Who are you writing to, Elias?
This is the time of year to write to the Great Pumpkin. On Halloween night, the Great Pumpkin rises out of his pumpkin patch and flies through the air with his bag of toys for all the children.
You must be crazy. When are you going to stop believing in something that isn't true?
When you stop believing in that fellow with the red suit and the white beard who goes ho, ho, ho.
We are obviously separated by denominational differences.
You must get discouraged because more people believe in Santa Claus than in you. Well, let's face it, Santa Claus has had more publicity. But being number two, perhaps you try harder. Not again! Writing a letter to a stupid pumpkin? You make me the laughing stock of the neighborhood. All they talk about is my little brother, who always writes to the Great Pumpkin. You better cut it out right now or I'll pound you. There are three things I have learned never to discuss with people: religion, politics, and the Great Pumpkin.
You're wasting your time. The Great Pumpkin is a fake.
Everyone tells me you are a fake, but I believe in you. P.S. If you really are a fake, don't tell me. I don't want to know.
What are you doing, Linus?
I'd rather not say. You might laugh.
Oh, I never laugh at you, Linus. You're so intelligent.
I'm writing to the Great Pumpkin.
You say the cutest things.
On Halloween night, the Great Pumpkin rises out of the pumpkin patch and flies through the air to bring toys to all the good little children everywhere. Wouldn't you like to sit with me in the pumpkin patch on Halloween night and wait for the Great Pumpkin?
Oh, I'd love to, Linus.
What's going on here? What are you trying to do to my little sister?
Hey, Eli, we got to go.
I like going for this, though.
But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that's my cue to start the show. Welcome to another edition of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, live from high atop Hard Rockin' Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your three-hour weekly get-together where we bring you all the biggest news from around the world of hard rock, heavy metal, and a costly wide world of sports. And guys, if you like football, if you like sports, we're going to have a heavy-leaning show tonight. There's a little bit of music stuff. I got some But we got a lot of football for you tonight, and we got a lot of sports in general. So I would guess to technically at the halfway point of the NFL season, so we're going to break down the midway point, even though I guess with the 17 weeks, we could probably go another week. But Jeff decided this week was the middle of the year, so we're going for it. So welcome aboard, guys. I hope you guys have had a great week. I hope your Halloween was good. I replayed the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, as told by Linus. Linus has given two of the best speeches of all time with the Christmas and, of course, the Great Pumpkin. So I thought I'd replay that little something. I opened the Sunday Audible show with that on Sunday, this past Sunday, on Halloween. I hope you guys had a good one. I got to tell you, from what I saw, Halloween seems to be dwindling and dwindling. And I don't know if it's COVID. I don't know what it is. It's just a quick pass by for a quick stopover for Thanksgiving. I got to tell you, folks, I'm stoked. I got in the car the last couple of days. I've been listening to Christmas music. That's right. I got Christmas music playing in my car on the way home from work. I am soothed. I am relaxed. This is great. It's time for the tree. It's time for all that stuff. But I digress. We got a lot to talk about this week, so I hope you guys have had a great week. I'm looking forward to tonight. We got the Sunday Audible show this week. I'm still hoping for my special guest. He's away on vacation, so we're a little up in the air. If he's going to be on this Sunday or not, I have to wait till Saturday morning to find out. But make sure you check out me and the boys on Sunday morning. Either way, 9 a.m. right here on the Sunday Audible stations. So let's kick the show off again. We're here November 4th. It is dark. It is cold outside, and it's football weather. We got a lot for you tonight. Plenty to talk about. Giants lose. Jets. I can't explain what I saw on Sunday. We got the World Series is over. We got a little Colin Kaepernick creeping up into our lives again. We'll do contenders and pretenders. We got Francisco Lindor. We got Ozzy. We got Adrian Smith. We got Aaron Rodgers. We got Henry Ruggs. We got election. We got a lot. I don't know. I hope you guys all voted out there. A good week, a good night for the Republicans. The woke party got slapped in the mouth a little bit. Let's see if they respond appropriately and step back. And I think what I'm happy is the parents in Virginia woke up, saw what's being taught in their schools, and they kicked back. And I hope that the progressive left and all the woke out there who want to force this stuff down our children's throats and change our country, I hope they learned a lesson. If not, 2022 will be a bloodbath if you're a Democrat. So we'll see how it plays out. Congratulations to Eric Adams for winning the mayor of New York City. Can't be any worse than Big Bird. So I hope he turns the city around. I'm not holding out much hope, but he's got to be better than Big Bird. Looks like Phil Murphy might have won. We'll see. I was hoping for Cittarelli because compared to Phil Murphy, yeah, Phil, I do care about taxes, and this is my state. So go F yourself. But let's see if he won or not. We'll find out. But let's get the show off. Jeff's patiently waiting. We got a lot to get to, and I'm looking forward to hearing what my partner has to say. He's the handsomest guy on his side of the screen, the bass player for the Hard Rock and Sports Show, and my buddy for 40 years. He's, of course, Sleazy Top, Jeff Tawinski. What's up, Hefe?
History repeats itself. Sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes we don't. This time we waited, and it happened.
What's happened now?
You can see that.
I cannot see that. Am I supposed to?
Mike White and Joe Namath. Eerily similar positioning.
Yeah. Two sucky quarterbacks on the
two
same.
Sucky quarterbacks. Yeah. One leading his team to victory, the other one leading his team to greatness. Remember that. Okay? Now, I understand this is the start of a new week and everything else.
Yes,
I'm not recognizing any political bullshit. You know why?
Why?
Because we have turned the corner.
We've turned the corner for what?
We've turned the corner.
Where?
Don't worry about where. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Wait.
I'm calling you out.
Calling me out?
What is this? It gives me great pain to do this, but I must, against my will, agree with Jeff. Gettleman must go. The Giants are horrible. Patrick, you're 100% right. Embrace it, bro. Let's come on over to the green side where we've got winning ways going.
Listen to the shit green wave. 2 weeks ago, they got beat 54-13. Now they've turned the corner. You got Mike. He's not Mike effing White. He's Mike Dink and Dunk White. And I'm telling you,
405 yards.
He's going to get slapped silly this week. Watch.
Listen.
So he's been sitting on the bench for 4 years. Let me just say this one thing. So let's say you're right. Let's say he's the cat's meow. He's the greatest quarterback since Joe Namath, which really ain't saying much. So Joe Douglas should be fired. Right this minute, Joe Douglas should be fired.
Not at all.
I'll tell you why. Okay.
This week is not about Joe Douglas.
It is on this side of the screen, my friend. It is. On this side of the screen.
Hold on.
You can put your hat on. Come on. And next week you'll be burning it. So what's the difference?
Doubt it, man.
Joe Douglas, if let's say that Mike White is the superstar quarterback that you Jet fans all of a sudden he's the superstar quarterback. Let's say he is. So you not only had him on your roster, he's been sitting on a bench behind a guy who's been horrendous all year. Again, we're going for growth. Then you trade a number six pick for a guy who you already had that you let go, who came back to miss two games that he couldn't play anyway, to find out you might not even need the guy. It's Joe Douglas. It's one good win, one good loss away from bagging groceries at Stop and Shop in my neighborhood.
Listen, the only reason that he ain't going to be bagging groceries in your neighborhood?
Yeah.
Because fucking Gettleman works for the Giants.
Oh.
Right? This motherfucker is going to be driving the fucking bus back and forth to the synagogue and taking the people shopping, and you know it, okay?
All right, listen, we're going to get to the Giants. And I'm going to be the first to tell you, I am very disappointed in not only Gettleman, and again, listen, if it ends the season, ends the way it's going, yes, there will be a new GM at the top of the mountain.
Listen, shit is going to roll downhill. New GM, and it's going to roll
John Mara just gave Joe Judge. Now, I'll tell you, I am very disappointed in Joe Judge. I thought he had a horrendous game the other night. Now, I know that, you know, the whole headset thing, and there's been rumors now that there is some issues with the headsets. I'm sorry. You got to be prepared if you're a head coach. Hand signals, you figure it out. If it's happening every week, you absolutely have to be prepared.
What the fuck kind of excuse is that? This has been happening every week every week we lose is because my headset doesn't work. So you don't get the shit fixed?
Well, time out. That's not up to him. Do you know how it works? Bose has a representative at every football game every week to make sure that everything works.
Let's hear this. This ought to be good.
No, it has. Right. So
I'm listening because you know what? I'm calling bullshit.
No. Let me. So.
I'm not saying you, but I'm go ahead.
So Bose has a representative every week. So if there's a problem with the headsets, it should be announced before the game. Second, the minute there's a problem with the headset during the game, he should be going to the official. My headset doesn't work. They stop the game. They try to fix it. If they can't fix it, both teams lose headsets until it's fixed. So if you are having a problem and it's happening every week, shame on you for not making it a part of the game and having the other team not have a headset. So I'm down on Joe Judge this week for that reason. And I'm tired of, and the biggest thing for me is I'm tired of the penalties. There are too many stupid penalties. Eli Penny's taunting penalty. Why isn't he suspended for a game? Why is he not benched? You know, there is so much stuff. I am getting to the point where I am tired of hearing we're getting better. We're making – you're not. It's the same thing every week that we are losing games for. Now, do I have faith in Joe Judge? Yes. I think it's going to turn around. But at this moment, I'm very down on that. He's not going anywhere, but I'm not happy with the way this team's played this season with all the penalties, all the stupid mistakes. I you know, at some point you have to fix it.
You see, I'm looking for something right now.
I don't know what you're looking for.
I know what I'm looking for.
All right, let's start with this, Jeff. How was your week?
My week is good. You know what I'm looking for?
I have no idea. Your brains?
No. I'm looking for some
validity.
To your excuses.
There's no excuses.
I don't find any in this.
There's no excuses. I'm blasting my team for not being prepared.
First of all, how come as two guys that do this radio show,
mm-hmm.
on a Thursday night,
yep,
as amateurs,
yep,
know that in the NFL, if your headset's not working, that the other team loses their headset. So for you to turn around and say that the reason that we're losing is because the headsets aren't working, and if you're that much of a moron to actually not say anything and let the other team continuously get the best of you, and let's just say that 10, 15% of the other team beating you is due to the headsets that they have perfect communications.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't say anything and you've gone 7 losses so far in the season without saying anything, you deserve to be fired.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing. I'm with you. I thought it was a lame excuse. If you're having every – now, I'll tell you, I heard some rumors today, not rumors. A couple of people went on the air. Boomer Esiason was one to say that there are league-wide problems with the headsets, which, okay, I'm with you. Okay, so maybe there is some validity to it, but then you have to be prepared as a coach. You have to have hand signals ready. You have to have some sort of system together and up and running. And if you're having a problem during the game, you got to step up and say something. And I'm not making excuses. But beyond that,
maybe you know the answer to this. Maybe you don't. Sure. I don't know. Let's say your offensive and defensive coordinators are up in the box, right?
Yep.
So now, in the middle of the game, there's a problem with your headsets.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting your defensive coordinator signal.
Right.
I don't know what the problem is. I'm just...
Yeah, there's a headset problem. Scenario. Right. Okay.
You can't hear the defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Is that coach allowed to come down to the sidelines, yes, in the middle of the game?
Yes, 100%.
So the coach can go up and down.
I've never heard he wasn't, and I'll tell you the answer is yes.
Okay, so let's say that, okay, Tom, can you hear me? No, I can't hear him. All right, do me a favor. Go upstairs, tell him to get the fuck down here right now. Okay? That's the easiest way to fix it.
100%.
I want him next to me right now.
But I don't know if it was a headset problem between him and the coaches or if it's him, because I believe both his coordinators are on the sideline. So I think it's between him and the quarterback, and they're not getting the play in fast enough or correctly.
So then you know what? That's even a worse excuse.
I agree.
And because then you're there. So like you said, all right, let's just say that hand signals don't work. Let's say that they don't believe in using hand signals, okay? There's people constantly rotating,
sure,
play after play. So you bring them in, you're like, you know, blue 38 draft threat, mm-hmm, or whatever the fuck they'll say, something stupid like Super,
yeah,
Bowl, you know that. Mm-hmm. Okay, and they'll go in and they'll know. If you don't know then you can use a hand signal, right? You know, whatever.
You got to be prepared. No, I agree. Listen, I think that's the least. To me, Jeff, though, that's the least of the problems for the Giants. My biggest problem for the Giants is these penalties. You know, another – you had a – well, I mean, here's the thing. We lost the Washington game. You lose to the Redskins because Dexter Lawrence jumps off sides right over the ball. All right, it happens. We'll learn from it, move on. This week, O'Shane Zimenez goes off sides and it negates an interception that would have stalled the go-ahead drive for the Chiefs and possibly given the Giants the opportunity to go down. Instead, Mahomes gets the ball back. They go down the field. He kicks the field goal, and we end up losing the game. And we get Eli and Patrick's right. Eli Penley, we made just a normal catch. It was a big play for a first down. I think it was 3rd and 14. And then he gives it right back. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And to me, that falls on the head coach. Head coach has got to take the responsibility for all of the plays and sloppinesses.
That falls on so many different people, not just the head coach. That falls on the head coach, the coordinators, the position coaches,
yep,
and more importantly, Ellen's on the fucking general manager. Tom, I'm telling you, I do not like the Giants. I do not like the way that team plays. I think they're boring, but I think a lot of it has to do with Dave Gettleman not knowing what the fuck he's doing as a general manager. He has not done anything. This team has the same exact record for like the fifth year in a row. That speaks volumes to me. I know the Jets suck, but the Jets have perpetually sucked for 10,000 years, okay? The Giants, not a Giant fan, so I'm not getting anything out of saying this, always had a chance, always in discussions about being in the playoffs, this, that, and the other thing. It's just sheer sadness at this point in time, and somebody's got to pay for it, and it's got to be Gettleman.
Well, no, there's no doubt in my mind that Gettleman's, if the year continues the way it is, unless there's a miraculous seven or eight-game run, you know, and they squeak it to the playoffs, he's done. And I tell you the truth, the biggest disappointment for Gettleman for me, again, the guy's made a couple of good moves. The fact that we're still dealing with a bunch of players who get hurt every year, you know, that, you know, it comes down to him. You pick these guys, you got to pay for it. And I think he's going to pay. To me, he'll pay with it at the end of the year with his job, and there's no choice in the matter. There's a lot more to get to. I want to talk about the Jets who are playing tonight. I think here's the problem I have for the Jets. And listen, who knows? You know, if anything continues after Sunday, I couldn't have been more surprised at the game. You know, the short week on the road, is it good or bad for this kid, Mike White? Listen, anybody thinking that this kid's going to the Hall of Fame, you know, but I think anybody who's putting this into a quarterback controversy is not doing their team justice.
Why not?
Because, and we'll get to it, but I'll tell you, my opinion, you know, if anybody thinks that, you know, to cause this, turn this into a controversy for a guy who's 4 years in the league, hasn't been able to break a lineup anywhere. Again, great game, got it. But I could, you want to talk about Matt Flynn, you want to talk about Cliff Longley, I could give you 10 guys who've come out, had a big game, and never appeared again. So let's see. Listen.
It happens, but you want to know something? You know, Zach Wilson was drafted with the second pick.
Yes.
Okay. You look at him as he's going on the football field, it reminds me of the time that I watched the Little Rascals, and they were hiding from the Giant. Do you remember that one by any chance?
I do remember that one.
Okay, that's what it looks like when Zach Wilson gets on the field. It looks like this little kid hiding from giants.
Yep.
He's built small. He looks small. He looks like he's more worried about his hair and his haircut and his good looks instead of getting out there and playing football. I want to see him get a fucking tooth knocked out. That's what I want to see. All right? I want to see him get messed up. I want to see him get dirtied up. I want to see him look like he plays football, not like he's a model modeling football stuff.
Listen, I'm not disagreeing. And I want to do a lot of Jets and Giants. We're going to talk a lot of football tonight. Go ahead.
This kid White, he played. You can't tell me that all of a sudden, you know, Salah just decided to coach up a game. This guy was throwing the ball. He looked confident.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
There's a lot of guys that start their careers on the sideline. Look at Aaron Rodgers. All right, yes, I understand he was a higher draft pick, but he sat how long and then ended up winning a Super Bowl?
But he sat behind Brett Favre in the prime of his career for 4 years.
I could sit behind Brett Favre and throw.
It's different. You know, I think it's a little different.
50% completion rate and the other 50% is interceptions. This guy was a gunslinger.
Listen, this guy's been in the league for 4 years. No, nobody's even heard of the guy. Listen, you know, Jeff, miracles happen. Stuff happens. Mike White could turn into a very good NFL quarterback. And it could spell the end of Zach Wilson before he gets even a chance.
Drafted, what, 199th or something silly that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and look where he is today.
No, listen, anything's possible.
I'm not comparing him to Brady. Please
No. I didn't take it that way. I agree with you. Anything's humanly possible. Let's see. What I find funny is, you know, I'm listening to Jet fans all weekend. It's now suddenly we got our quarterback. It's a controversy. This kid should be playing. You heard all week there. Who's going to trade Zach Wilson? We'll trade. I'm like, you guys got to be kidding me. This kid played one game.
I'm saying this.
This was all over sports radio this week. All over sports radio this week. So,
would I give this kid another chance?
Absolutely.
Would I give him a chance if Zach Wilson comes back? Without a doubt.
Again, how does he play that? Listen, if he plays another good game tonight, they win or lose, he throws for 275, 300 yards. You know, he keeps them competitive. Yeah, you'd have to give him a thought because, you know what? Zach Wilson has not given him a chance to play well and be in games. So, of course, you got him.
But this kid has done one thing that Zach Wilson has not done, okay? And it's very easy to say. He played with confidence.
Agreed. Agreed.
Zach Wilson does not look confident. He doesn't even look like he knows where the fuck he is when he plays.
Listen, okay. I'm not disagreeing. My only thing that I tell people is temper the enthusiasm. This kid is not the next coming of Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers yet.
Anybody can be the next coming of Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. They have to play. You don't know who it is.
Yeah.
Is Mike White that person? I don't think so. But you want to know something right now? If he was to win 3 of the next 4 games, then why not? Why not play him?
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. If you're the Jets
he was throwing the ball. He looked like he was confident on
the field. Absolutely, 100%.
He didn't look like he was afraid. where Zach Wilson is always, he looks, I'm going to throw that guy, I'm going to throw that guy. And the next thing you know, he's getting killed or he's running for his life.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like he looks off.
I agree with Patrick. You play the hot hand, and if Mike White makes you more competitive, you leave him out there. Let's not fool ourselves. They had a perfect game plan against a team I think was looking well past them, and we'll see what happens tonight. Listen,
you got to wonder how much of that came into play too.
Yeah.
The Bengals actually looked past the Jets.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind. They just came off a big win. You know, you're getting the Jets who have no life in it with a quarterback who hasn't played three downs in his career, and now and you're already chalking up for a W. So, listen, I think there's a lot of factors in it. If Mike White comes out there tonight and plays and keeps them competitive, hey, then you keep playing him until he's not competitive. And if the kid's got to sit for the rest of the year and learn, hey, you do what you got to do, and you make it a court and you make it a competition next year. There's nobody, nothing's guaranteed.
Maybe it's just me because I'm expecting the boot to drop. You know, you just never know, okay? But I just do not get a good feeling watching Zach Wilson play.
I said it for the draft. I didn't think he was the guy. I didn't think he was a pro quarterback in this level. Now, maybe he'll be a good backup. I agree with you. I never got the good hit, feeling.
Listen, you don't want to be wasting the second pick of a draft on a fucking backup.
I agree with you. But listen, we got a lot to get to tonight. We're going to have John Mahefka is going to join us about 7:45. We're going to run through the entire league. We're going to do contenders and pretenders at what we're going to call the midway point. We're going to give you our halfway MVPs. We're going to go through our biggest surprises, good and bad. We got Francisco Lindor. We're going to talk a little bit about the Giants and Jets. We got more Giants and Jets. We got some Ozzie, Adrian Smith. Colin Kaepernick's going to creep back into the show. We're going to do that before we get John on. I want to talk a little bit about why this guy can't go away and why people just pay attention to this guy. But let's get my dad on and see what he's got to say. And then we'll get back to a lot of football and all that good stuff. Right here at the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. Jeff and I here every Thursday night. Let's get my dad up and see what he's got to say. What's up, Pop?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
How you doing, Mr.
Good. Gordon? Yeah, just a little bit. I tell you, the World Series was a little better than I thought it was going to be. I kind of enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
More so because Houston lost.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I enjoyed it. It was very, very good.
I think it was a little bit of a surprise team, not in the World Series itself, but just, you know, not having a great first half of the season, quiet second half, but strong. It's a good baseball team, and it was a good series. This wasn't a classic World Series. There was no big, you know, huge moments, but it was a good series.
I thought it was good. I'm not going to hold you long.
Good, Dad.
I heard it on one of the shows today, and I thought it was a very good question. If this is for you or for Jeff, anybody else you want to ask, if you had three games or whatever that you could actually turn back time and be there and watch it, what would be the three, whether it's baseball, football, boxing, what three things would you love to see in person? It could be 100 years ago. It could be yesterday. My pick, because you guys,
yes.
I got to hear what yours are. Mine would be the first Ali Frazier fight, okay? The second one would be where Mickey Mantle almost hit the home run at a Yankee Stadium.
That's a good one.
And the third one, probably, I don't think he would know, would be the second Tony Zale and Rocky Graziano fight.
Wow. They got me on that one.
Yeah.
I thought that would get you on that.
Yeah, but it's a good question to kick around.
No.
If you had your chance to go be back in time and see any three things. And you know what? You say it's easy, but it's very hard because you only got three choices.
Well, that's just it. I mean, the first one for me is easy. Miracle on Ice. I'd like to be at the Russian game.
Yeah, the hockey game.
Yeah, I'd like to be Russia-USA. For that game, that to me, that's one of the most exciting games of all time. It was a big game and it lived up to the billing. So that's one for me. Two, I got to think about it, but I would probably say I would love to be at the Don Larsen perfect game. It's the only one in World Series history. I think that would be that would have been a lot of fun to get to watch. And I'll tell you one that you'd be shocked at. I'm going to say that there's so many and I. And because I watched the movie, I've always been inquisitive about it. But I would have loved to be at Belmont when Secretariat won that race that day by whatever it was, 37 lengths.
Yeah.
I've never really been at a big race like that. I've gone to a couple of races. But that, to me, the excitement that so many people were watching and into that, yeah, that to me is one. Yeah, Stanley Cup 94 is a good one. Patrick, Jeff, you got three?
Yeah, of course, man. I would love the Stanley Cup 1994,
yeah.
The winning game. That would be a great one to see, without a doubt.
Yep.
I would definitely have to be on my list. Definitely the 69 Jets winning the Super Bowl.
That's a great one, yeah.
I would love to be there for that. And one that I'm surprised nobody brought up, especially you, Tom. It would be a tie. I don't know which one I would really want to go to more.
Go ahead.
But I'd either want to watch a game with the 1927 Yankees.
Okay.
And watch that lineup, or watch the 1978 Yankees and Ron Guidry when he pitched, when he had, what was it, the 18 strikeouts?
Oh,
the 19 strikeouts.
18 strikeouts.
I would love to sit back and watch that game. I remember watching that game when I was a kid.
I remember,
but
too.
I'd love to see it again, but those would be my three picks.
That's good ones. That's all good ones. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the fight one, that's also good one for me. I would love to have been at Ali and Foreman. I think that's a great fight. But any one of the Frazier fights is a great one.
Yeah, it's a good little question.
Yeah.
And it seems so easy, but, you know, you say, like Jeff said, I thought of this, but then I changed and I thought of that.
There's so many choices.
There's so many things. I'd love to see Babe Ruth play.
Sure.
I'd love to see Lou Gehrig play. Who I would have loved to see was Ty Cobb.
Yeah, I would tell you that if I had to take one shot at it, seeing Lou Gehrig in his prime in a big game would have probably be right up there with it also, right, Jeff?
No, come on, man. That's why I say the 27 Yankees.
Yeah.
Can you imagine just sitting through that game and just the names that you'll be hearing announced and just to watch them play? And, I mean, I couldn't name one particular game.
No.
But, I mean, it would definitely want to be maybe the one where they bludgeon somebody to post, you know?
Yeah. That's a good one, Pop. That's a great question, and I'm going to throw it out
there. Yeah, good. Post it around. See what you get out of it. And you'll get some funny things. Like you said, you never heard of Tony Zale and Graziano, but that was one of the classic fights. That's when he won the title, Graziano.
Yeah, that's listen.
And as coarse as he was in the movie, he was even worse in person.
Oh, really?
He was a real typical New York. We had lunch with him.
Oh, really?
On the job. He came by, and we were all sitting outside, you know, construction, eating sandwiches.
Yeah.
And he come by, and, hey, Rock, how you doing? He came over, he was talking to us, and the guy said, Rock, can I give you some sandwich? He says, what do you got? And he said, like a roast beef sandwich. Yeah, sure. He broke off half his sandwich. And the guy, he sat down, and he ate with us. Like he was a construction worker. But you could look at him and see you did not want to get him mad.
That's funny.
He was a real street brawler.
Yeah.
He wasn't a boxer. He was a street brawler. But I'm going to let you guys go in.
All right, Bob, thanks.
You
get really
somebody
cool.
else come up with something.
You got it.
All right, guys. Take care.
Hey,
have a good
weekend.
Talk to you, Tommy.
Later, Mr.
Hi.
That's my daddy. Brought a good question, Jeff. That's it.
That's a great one. I'm surprised we never once ever thought about
that. That's a really good one.
You know, I like that one a lot.
Yeah, I do, and I'm going to keep that around. And when we have guests on, we're going to ask him that.
I'm going to ask John that when he comes on later.
Yeah, it's an interesting question because, you know, the possibilities are, you know, obviously endless. There's so many different things. Like, do you go with the – I think you hit it right because you said – you know, it doesn't have to be any specific game just to watch that lineup play in 1927. You know, I went for kind of big moments in time.
Well, listen, there's nothing wrong with that because you went for historic moments.
Sure.
You went for a historic moment by saying, you know, the Stanley Cup, the Rangers clinching the Stanley Cup, the Jets winning the Super Bowl, and even Guidry when he struck out the 18.
Yeah.
But, I mean, to know that I saw that game,
yes.
I'll never forget that game. It was a Friday night. And I watched it in my mother's bedroom.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I remember that, watching it in my mother's bedroom. And I remember watching it, of course. It was a great game. And but, I mean, to watch that or to see the 27 Yankees,
Yeah, it's a tough one.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I also watched that game. I remember watching it at my grandmother's house. We were over there. We spent a lot of weekends with my grandmother, with my brother and his sister. And I remember specifically watching that game because we had one TV in the house, and I was commandeering it. We all watched the into the night, and you're a kid. I mean, I idolized those guys, and Gidry you striking everybody out on a June night that just was hot and muggy and just.
It was in June.
Yeah, it was June. It was like June 18th, 19th. I have to think about the date again, but.
Yeah, you know, I probably remember it so much, not so much that the Yankees were winning. It was Gidry. Probably I was shitting my pants wondering if I was going to get promoted or not.
Yeah. Let me look that up. Ron Gidry's 18 strikeouts, 18 Ks.
Oh, by the way, just want to let you know, kind of officially decorated for Xmas.
I see that. I see that. I'm sorry. I was a little off. June 6th. It says here, June 16th, 19th. Oh, no. Sorry. June 17th, 1978 is the official date. Okay.
June 17th.
June 17th. That was a day off. It was 18 strikeout performance. Do you remember who they played, Jeff? I do.
The California Angels.
There you go. Good job for you, California Angels. Yes. Good team at that time had, I don't know if Rod Carew was on that team yet, but it was, they had Bobby Gritch, I think. I'm trying to think of some of the other guys on that team. Don Baylor, I was pretty sure I was on that team. Joe Rudy may have been on that team. Good baseball team. So Jeff, good job on that one. 9-24, 6-9 tonight. The Mets clinched their first pennant. Good one, Patrick. That's a good one. Hey, Patrick, what about one of those Islander Stanley Cup championships? I know you're a big Islander fan. What about one of those 94 guys, those 70s teams? I would also, Jeff, another one I could throw in there is watching that Edmonton Oilers team when they had Gretzky and Messier in their prime with Coffey and Lowe and Tikkanen and all those guys. That would have been another one to think about getting to see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot.
Yes. We'll have to bring that up to John, and we'll have to keep that around for future guests to see. That's a thought-provoking one. That's thought-provoking.
Sorry, I did. What'd you say?
I said that's one we'll have to keep bringing up to some of our guests in the future.
Oh, definitely, without a doubt, man.
You know what? It's good thought-provoking, and it's also it's a good conversation starter because once you get into the games, you can kind of now go into the games themselves and all that other good shit. So. Good job, Dad. So we got a couple minutes before John gets in there. I want to talk a little bit. I want to stay with we'll hold it till after. We're going to do the Kaepernick stuff after John. We'll do all of that after we run through the league. Lindor, I want to get to Francisco Lindor. Let's do Lindor now. Jeff, I don't know how much you're up on the Francisco Lindor choking Jeff McNeil situation. So I want to get that off my
chest. I just read about it yesterday, I think it was.
Yeah.
Where they said there was either a rat or a raccoon in the
in
the dugout. They show all the Mets players running into the fucking dugout.
Yeah, well, so it turns out that that's not what was the argument over, obviously. And it was basically Jeff McNeil does not believe in the shift, which I agree with. But he was supposed to be in one position and was out of it. And Lindor was breaking his balls to get in the right position. And then a couple of times, I think he wound up in base hits and this and that. And it finally wound up in a big FU contest, Jeff. And they went to the hallway and had a big fight. Now, listen, while I agree with Jeff McNeil that I hate the shift and the way they play the game today, if you're told to do it, you do it. And that's the way it goes. But if you're Francisco Lindor, I'm all for you getting in the teammate's face and letting him know he's got to do his job. But the minute you put your hands on somebody, that's where you go wrong. And to me, Francisco Lindor should have been suspended. And the fact that the Mets hid this, didn't do anything about it, is typical Mets. And this is why the Mets are the Mets and why they have a problem every year. So I don't know how you feel about it. But to me, Lindor's good until he puts his hands on the guy and tries to choke him out.
Listen, it's like you said, if the coach is telling you where to play, then you just go there and play. But let's just look at it from the other side real quick.
Go ahead.
We have to. That's what we do.
That's what we do.
Okay. So let's just say that they're calling for the shift, but yet he doesn't want to do the shift. He has a feeling this guy in the last three at-bats has been throwing hard towards the second bag, second base bag.
Yep.
And they want him to shift over more towards first. But he's like, you know what? No, I don't. No, I'm going to stay here. And then he makes the play.
Yep.
Okay. And then it happens again. And then, you know what? He makes another play. And now all of a sudden the guy looks like a genius because he didn't listen to anybody. He went with his gut, but he made two great plays. But I know from reading it and I know from what you just said,
yep.
It didn't turn out that way a couple times. So everybody was pissed off at him.
Sure.
So, you know, listen, if you're told to play that way, you're told to play that way. Evidently, somebody else is going to take the heat if the ball gets hit where you were, not where you are.
Correct.
So if your coach is saying, listen, get over there and you know, stay there.
Yeah.
It's on him. He has to explain that. You could turn around and say, listen, I would have rather have been in that position, of course, but this is what the coach called, and I got to play what it is. You got to toe the company line sometimes in a game like that. But Lindor, you know, it's not up to him, unless he's the team captain, which I don't know because I'm not a Met fan. Unless he's the team captain and he's pulling a player off to the side, maybe he shouldn't be saying anything to anybody. It's not his position. Is he looked upon as a leader of the team?
I would say, with his position at shortstop, that kind of gives you the, that he's a, the high paid guy in the team. And I would say he's a guy who's respected.
You can't just say because he's the shortstop. I mean, should Bucky Dent have been telling like Catfish Hunter or Thurman Munson what to do when he was on the 78 Yankees?
No, but then, it's kind of like the unofficial guy who runs the infield. Usually the shortstop's usually your main guy. I get it, but I get your point.
You want him to be the leader if that's the case. Yeah. I could see if Jeter did it, I could say, yes, I understand his point. It's Derek Jeter. He should be saying something.
Right.
But, this guy here, I don't know.
It's questionable. But you know what? I I blame the manager. If McNeil's constantly doing this, then you got to bench him. You got to put him on the bench, and you avoid this problem. I have no problem with Lindor or any teammate. If a guy doesn't run hard to first base, if a guy doesn't do things the proper way, I have no problem with any teammate going, what the hell are you doing? Why are you doing it? I got no problem with that. I do have a problem with you putting the hands on the guy. I think that's where things could go very wrong in a lot of ways. You can hurt yourself. You can hurt him. I'm from an era where, the Yankees in 77, 78, they were constantly beating the shit out of each other. So I get that part of it, but
the Yankees,
it's a new difference.
77, 78 were backing up everything they did.
Sure, agreed.
You're talking about a team that won two consecutive world championships and was in three World Series, three consecutive World Series.
Yep.
So it's a different situation. This is a team that's trying to stay out of last place for three consecutive years.
It
doesn't always work.
I agree with you. So, to me, but this, what this does to me is raises the red flags. And I'll say it again. If you're a baseball team out there, I agree with you, Patrick. He's no David Wright. And I think this has to raise the red flags. If you're a team out there, there's all these shortstops and all these guys. You're going to have Correa and Siegler and all these guys go looking for big contracts. Anybody who, after Lindor's last 2 years and this year with the big contract to Jets with the Mets, you're nuts if you give these guys $10 million, 10-year deals. If you continue to give these guys 10-year, $350 million deals, you deserve everything you get. And right now, the Jets have to look at last year as a huge disappointment. And I don't believe that you're going to see, Francisco Lindor next year hitting 320 with 35 homers, and 90 RBIs and staying on the field all day. I think this is just a trend that's going to continue, but I think all teams, this is a buyer beware. Please be careful when you spend the money this offseason, Jeff.
Yeah, that could be the call for any sports.
Yeah.
The money that they throw after some of these guys.
Yeah.
I think that's the big contracts, though, Tom. I got to say, this is just my opinion, of course. I think that when they go after the big contracts and try to sign these guys, to see where they know, we have this guy locked up for the next 10 years.
Right.
So he's making $15 million this year, and by the end of the 10th year, he's making $20 million. But, we project the salaries for these guys in this position to go up to $35 million a year. So we're saving X amount of dollars over X amount of years, and then it doesn't work because it's like the player depreciates.
Sure.
And nobody gives a shit. Nobody's really like, oh, you know, this is somebody that we didn't do this. We didn't think that. We
right.
didn't, you know, and it's kind of sad. I think that these major league sports, I'm surprised that they never wanted to turn around and say, you know what, listen, we're capping the contracts off at 3 years. You could sign
sure.
and be 3 year contracts. You play your 3 years. You negotiate with your team that you're on. Sign another three. That's fine. But we can't have you sign in a 10 year deal, and then these teams get fucked. Suppose a small market team like Milwaukee or Pittsburgh
mm-hmm.
signs a player like that to a 10 year deal. They can bankrupt themselves
sure.
by years 4 or 5. You know, much less 7, 8, 9, and 10. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
No, I got it. And Patrick's right. I was just about to say. The owners fault because they outdo each other. You know, if nobody's willing to give them 10-year deals, they're going to take a 5-year deal or a 3-year deal. But, you know, it happens every year. It used to be the guy in Texas, you know, who really kicked off all the stuff. But, you know, at some point, you got to say, you know what, I can't give you 10 years. I don't care if you're 21 years old. I can't give you 10. I don't know what I'm going to get 10 years from now out of you. And I think, you know, and I'm going to point, I'll say in the NFL, they do the shorter deals. But they give a lot of money. But look how it's hurting right now if you're at Kansas City. You're not telling me that Patrick Mahomes' $50 million a year contract is not keeping them from signing better players and doing more with their team. He's getting more than 25% of their entire budget for him.
Yeah, you're right. But you want to know something, Tom? I'm not saying that Kansas City was right. Don't get me wrong. When they signed him to that kind of money.
Yep.
All right. The thought was is that he's going to take them to Super Bowls.
Agreed.
He's going to do this. He's going to do that. And it hasn't really worked out according to plan. I mean, listen, he still has a chance to rebound. So he had one bad year so far. You know, he
yeah.
can even still rebound and get that team going again. But, you know, it is what it is. But you're 100% right. I hear you. But like I said, I think that these guys are afraid that they know that these contracts are going to get out of hand. So they'd rather pay a little bit extra now because they think that they're going to save money later on down the line where Mahomes is getting $50 million. Maybe by the time his contract's over, there's some guy's making $70 million.
It's hard not to argue. I mean, to me, this all started with the Kirk Cousins $28 million a year contract for a guy who's basically an average quarterback at best in Washington. So I got that's where it started with the escalation. Now, guys, listen, they were already starting to creep up. Guys were already making 22, 23. But the minute you pay a guy, you know, $28 million a year, that's it. You know, now you got to outdo it. Aaron Rodgers gets 30-something million, and then, of course, Mahomes gets 50. And I like Mahomes as a player, but look at what we've seen this year. What we've seen this year is a guy who doesn't have a good offensive line. His defense stinks, and he's had to overcompensate, and he's played very badly this year. He's been a bad quarterback.
Yeah, no, there's not much. Like, listen, his offensive line has been in flux for a couple of years. So, you know, it just goes to prove an offensive line is you know, very important for these quarterbacks.
Sure.
Of course, we know that.
Yeah.
And it's just one of the problems they have. I know their defense sucks. And, you know, listen, you just like, I would love to see them get back on track and get back to winning Kansas City. I think it's good for the sport to see a way it takes away from Brady. And everything that the what do you call it, did for so many years, the Patriots did for so many years, and kind of shifts the focus away from Bill Belichick in New England. I can't stand them. You know that.
Well, we'll get to some of those games later on. There were some good games this last week, and Billy, he may be coaching his best football right now this year. This team has been impressive the last 2 weeks, only one win out of those two, but I think the Patriots play. But we'll get to that later on. Lots to still get to tonight. Hard Rock and Sports. Jeff and Tom here. Waiting on John Marhefka to start our football run through. We're going to give another minute or two. John's probably a little busy right now. And we'll get to a lot of good football. I also want to bring up the arm barn and the bullpen controversy. I'm sure Jeff's aware of this.
Yeah, I saw that.
We'll talk about that and Kaepernick and a whole bunch of other stuff after all of that. We'll run through some stuff. And, again, we're here every Thursday night. Jeff, me, and all of you guys, so make sure you keep coming back. The holiday season's upon us, folks, so make sure you tune in every Thursday night. We're going to have some special guests. And
I
got to
ask you something.
Go ahead.
You're running too far ahead.
Huh?
You're not giving me a chance to jump in.
I'm sorry?
You're not giving me a chance to jump in and then say anything. What's going on
yeah.
with the holiday season with you? What's the tree projection? All of this good stuff. What do you got for me?
All right. Well, the tree projection is, I want to go quick. I was debating starting this weekend, but I think we're going to go real tree. So I might have to skirt it one extra week. Don't want to go too soon.
Wow, a real tree.
Yeah,
huh?
We got the whole room in the back. So, and we're going to get to Aaron Rodgers and the prima donna stuff. Yeah. Yeah, I got the room in the back now, and I'm thinking of going real tree. We're going to do an entire Christmas theme in the whole room. We're going to do,
nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so let me ask you, for a guy who, I know you've done real trees, you do the fake trees.
We do two trees a year.
Yeah.
We do a real tree and a fake year. Right now, we are in intense negotiations.
Okay.
Over which tree is going where.
Okay.
We don't know whether to get a full-size real tree for the dining room this year or put our 6 or 7 footer in the dining room this year, like our artificial trees, and put the real tree downstairs. We have a change of light coloring from colored lights to white lights. This is going to be big, but I did tell my wife that we're going to be starting extremely soon. Probably next week, I'm going to be starting actually putting lights in the windows so that I could do like 2 windows a night or something silly like that and get everything done and have a test lighting.
Nice. Test lighting.
Test lighting for windows only, test lighting.
Will you be doing a Facebook Live test lighting? We have a test lighting Facebook Live.
No, but I will Facebook it.
Okay.
Of course. You know, yes. I can't be in here plugging everything. I can't trust my wife to do things the way. I'm very retarded. I do things a certain way. They got to be done a certain way.
Gotcha. Okay? Understood. So let me ask you some advice now. I haven't real treated it in a long time. Mm-hmm. So I want the tree to last at least a week after Christmas. When do you recommend getting the real tree?
I would get it as close to Christmas as possible.
Really?
I wouldn't put it up in November.
Oh, that's not good. I have to have my tree up soon.
Oh, listen, do you have to have it up on Thanksgiving or after Thanksgiving? When do you usually put it up?
Well, you know, it varies. Late in the last couple of years, I go a little early each year. So last year, I was at least a week, maybe a little more than a week before Thanksgiving.
Oh, you beat me, motherfucker.
Yeah, I got to the point now where I realized how much I enjoy coming home, flipping on the lights for the tree, shutting all the house lights off, and sitting there watching TV, working on the show. So, yeah, I am easily a week before Thanksgiving normally now.
Oh, man, you're putting pressure on me. I needed pressure.
So, yeah.
I made a run to CVS last night just to fucking do recon.
Really? See, now I haven't. That'll be this weekend because we're battling over the theme. I want to do one of two themes. I either want Rudolph's Misfit Toys as my theme. I want that. I want a whole room with all the Misfit Toys and Rudolph and the whole thing, and Santa dangling from the ceiling coming down into the thing. I want to do the whole thing, or it's got to be Peanuts. I want a Charlie Brown Christmas with the little tree. The whole village, I want a whole big thing, which she is not keen on.
No, why not?
She's not a fan of the Charlie Brown.
Really? She's not a fan of Charlie Brown?
No. So.
I'm actually going to send you something there right now.
Okay.
Just to rub it the fuck in.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
So go look at that.
I got it coming up on the screen. Let's see. It's not popped up yet, but I'm sure it will.
Well, no, I sent it to you on your... via text message.
I'm on my text message right now.
Oh, okay.
Oh, very nice. Look at you. Okay, so that was
my downstairs.
Now that is what I'm looking for.
Yeah, and then this was last year in my dining room with the real tree. It was a very small real tree, but
well, it didn't pop up yet. Okay. Wow, very nice.
Should be coming
very nice.
Any minute.
That is very nice.
Just a quick glimpse of the real tree.
I see that. Very nice. Very,
and,
very nice.
See if there's anything else that could really show you. This was a heart-wrenching picture.
Uh-oh.
Basil's first Christmas
blind. Oh, boy.
In front of the tree with her little halo on when she was crashing into things last year.
I have to get away for that to pop up on the screen here. There it comes, downloading as we speak. Aw, the halo, like a little angel, Jeff, like the little angel she is. Yeah. Now, that is a nice picture of the tree, up lights, the whole bit, Jeff. You got a nice little shot right there.
Okay, and then this is the last one because I don't want to get you – I don't want to give you too many ideas, but this is – you can zoom in and look at my Peanuts Village.
Okay, it's downloading now. Sorry, folks, you have to indulge us. It's getting to be Christmas season around here. We're going to have some fun. I like the Snoopy on the floor. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Yes, that is what I'm talking about. Snoopy everywhere. I want flying Snoopies. I want Charlie Browns. I want Linus.
That's another thing, too. I have bad news for you.
What?
And I don't know whether I should say it or not.
Please.
Because I don't want to destroy his for you.
You're not going to destroy it. Go for it.
It is going to destroy it for you. That song, Snoopy and the Red Baron.
Yeah.
Did you know that has nothing at all to do with Christmas?
Yes, it has nothing to do with Christmas.
Oh, okay. Yes. All right, as long as you knew
it. But it is a Christmas song. It is officially only played during Christmas season.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
That
okay.
is the only time you'll hear that song is during Christmas time.
When I
listen to it. Christmas bells, oh Christmas. That's the theme of it is Christmas. It's supposed to be Snoopy the Red Baron. No, listen. Do you want me to play? I'll play it for you if you want me to.
If you have it, go ahead.
Oh, hold on. Let me see. Hold on. Let's see.
Yeah, you ain't hurting my time by
let's see if I still have it on my screen here someplace. I do. Ready? Here it comes, Jeff.
Okay.
Let me know if you can hear it.
O Tannenbaum.
Yeah. Now, the theory of the song is that Snoopy and the Red Baron are going at each other every day. And at Christmas time, they actually meet. Snoopy lands and they have a drink together and they celebrate Christmas together.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, listen, it's Snoopy and the Red Baron. And, you know, it's Merry Christmas, my friend. That's the part. So it is a Christmas song. While not necessarily about Christmas, it's a Christmas song.
I will have to give it definitely a
you
second.
Have
listen.
To give it to it. You have to take a listen to that. It's one of my favorite songs. Probably my favorite Christmas song of all time.
Oh, and look who's here.
Hi, Sharon.
That's the wife. I'm going to take the computer and chase her into a little. She's locking herself in the closet.
I don't blame her. I would do that same thing if I was her.
That's a bad place for her because I can run in there and get her.
Hot Rock Sports. We're waiting on John. I think he's going to show up at 8:00. It was just 7:45 or 8:00. So we're talking Christmas, but we got a lot to get to tonight. We got a lot of football to still do. We'll run through the entire league. We're going to take a look at surprises and MVPs and all that good stuff. Contenders.
Do you have any Halloween stuff?
You know what, Jeff? We had very little Halloween stuff up there. I said it before the show. You know, I've never been a big, huge Halloween guy. And maybe it's because of COVID, but I think Halloween's taken a very bad step backwards.
Not over here.
Yeah?
Not over here. The other day, Halloween was Sunday.
Yeah.
There was so many kids out.
Really?
On the block that I drive up Westcott to my house.
Uh-huh.
That I was doing about 10, 15 miles an hour because I was literally afraid that one of them was just going to run across the street.
No, that's good to hear.
Hundreds of kids.
Okay.
And I'm not talking like two here, three there. Whatever.
Right, right, right.
I'm talking like groups of 20 and 30. It was hundreds of kids. It was sick.
Okay.
The ones that have been out here for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why people don't say Halloween kicks off the holiday season.
You know, it's a good question. You know, I never really count it. But you know what? It's true that it really does kick off the holiday season. To me, it's the start of fall, and you're into that holiday season. Once that – it's almost not that it kicks it off. It's as soon as it's over, Halloween – to me, the holiday season starts for me. But to me, that's it.
Halloween –
yeah.
A couple days later is Election Day.
Yep.
A couple days after that is Veterans Day. A couple days after that is Thanksgiving.
Right.
We've already gotten three semi-holidays and one major holiday out of the way by the time you get to Thanksgiving. Now, Christmas comes and you're like, oh, shit, Christmas is a month away. And it's there before you know it.
Oh, yeah. No, listen. That's why, to me, every year, I want to start it earlier because I feel like it lasts longer.
Well, yeah, of course.
So to me, I'm already looking for stuff. No, Patrick, I get no trick-or-treaters at all. I don't even see them in the neighborhood. You know, we don't live on the beaten path, so it's kind of like you can't walk here. So you have to drive your car, get out, and then hit the area. You know, we're not in like the center of town where people can go block. You have to drive to our community, park your car, and then you can walk block to block in the community. So
nobody goes to the 55 and over because you people just give out hard candy and that's it.
Let me tell you something. I can't tell you the last year I actually bought Halloween candy for anybody.
Dude, my wife, she buys candy every year.
Yeah.
She bought M&M's, right? Had a bowl of M&M's ready. Then out of nowhere, nobody was coming. Somebody rang the bell. By the time we grabbed the dog, we had to get her, grab the dog, put it behind the counter. I grabbed candy, went to go open the door. The kids were like, this is taking too long. They get it.
Yeah.
So I had to tell her, I think I ate like three hands. There she goes again. Look at her. There she goes. I had to make a giveaway all of this candy at work.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because she, you know, listen, unlike me, you know what I used to do?
What?
You wanted to be the kid that opened the door and found me. Because I wasn't getting up and down.
So sure.
In that game, I just like, here, kid. I just dumped the fucking thing in the bag. Now go home.
I'm out of candy. Go away. Don't come back.
Yeah, I'm out of candy. Leave. And the parents used to like, what the fuck is the matter with this guy? You know?
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to be getting up and down all day long for fucking kids. And
you know, I don't know about Patrick, but I'm surprised that we don't get trick-or-treaters for the simple fact that I would think that, you know, people's grandkids would show up to trick-or-treat at their grandparents' house and then hit a few houses along the way. Now, I don't know if it's against the rules here. I never seen anything that it was, but I'm living in this community 3.5 years now, never seen anybody. Even in my town, I think the 1 year we had like one person stopped at our house and then never had anybody again. And it just, from that point on, I stopped buying candy. If they come, you're getting a wave and a hearty hello, and you're out the door.
Yeah, here's a can of soup.
Yeah. Do you like tomato or chicken rice? Which one you want?
Yeah, imagine doing that to a kid. Hey, there you go. I got a can of soup.
I got ramen noodles. We got tomato.
How about
a can of olives? Like olives?
Yeah. Hey, they say trick or treat, right? You ain't ever going to forget this one.
This is some trick you're getting, sir. Yeah.
Here's a Brillo pad for you.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, it's just, we never get anybody, and I'm okay with it. You're getting up and down, to me. But you're right, that it kicks off the holiday season, and then we roll into the fun stuff. And, you know, as much as I look forward to the 4 days off, I almost never want Thanksgiving to get here because I enjoy that day immensely. It's just a quiet, peaceful day.
Thanksgiving?
Yeah, you eat, you watch, there's a lot of good TV, you watch a lot of football.
What do you do on Thanksgiving? You stay home or do you?
No, my mom has it every year. Sometimes it's just my mom, me and my wife, my mother, father, my uncle, and then my sons. The last few years, my aunt and uncle and some of their kids and grandkids come over, so it's a little bit more. It's kind of three-quarters of what we have for Christmas, but it's always at my mom's, and, you know, she makes way too much food, and we eat way too fast, and we watch a lot of football, and, you know, it tends to end a lot earlier than it used to. You know, back in the day, you'd get there and I get there at 12 and go home 6, 7, 8 o'clock. Now I get there at 12 and I'm going home at 4, 5 o'clock, depending on how fast we eat.
Oh, listen, dude, you know, we're getting older too.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit in traffic on the way home. And, you know, all of a sudden now you're getting to that age where, you know, okay, make sure you use the bathroom. I used the bathroom before I left. Yeah. Now all of a sudden you get up to the highway. I got to take a piss. And you're looking for a bush or something. You know, you can't have that. It's
true.
Especially now. Food moves at a different rate.
Oh, no. Yeah, listen, you're deaf.
It comes in cash and it comes out faster.
I'm lucky.
So, you know, you need to be in a good way before you can make your way home.
I'm lucky that I have my Thanksgiving and Christmas Eve about 3 minutes from the home base.
Oh, sure. So you can pretty much make it even with it sticking out.
I got a good chance. I got a good chance along the way.
I got to take this.
Go ahead. So, Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom hanging in there. Hope you guys are enjoying it. Huh?
Big. I guess not. They hung up.
All right, no problem. So we're John should be on any second, and then we'll kick off the football end of it. Talking a little holidays right here. We're looking forward to the holidays here. So we're going to start playing some holiday festive stuff each week. And we're going to have our Christmas show the night before, December 23rd. We'll have our Christmas show. We're going to invite on a bunch of people and, you know, getting ready for to the holidays. And right after that, we'll start gearing up for a lot of football playoffs and ready for our Super Bowl show. So lots of stuff coming up right here. And, of course, on the Sunday Audible show, we'll be doing a lot of the same stuff. Make sure you check us out Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. where all of us get together, including our good friend John Marhefka, and we talk football. This Sunday, we might have a really big guest. I won't know until Saturday. So it's either this Saturday or next Sunday, this Sunday or the following Sunday, but I don't have confirmation yet. And, Jeff, I ran it by John on Sunday. There's a small chance, if you're available, we may do a Thursday Thanksgiving special for the Sunday Audible show. Do 1 hour, 1 hour. We'll talk about that day's games. We'll have some fun. You don't always get to get involved on the Sunday show.
I'm definitely not working on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so I thought it would be nice. We'll do a quick 1 hour show, kind of have some fun with those day's games and all of that. But so give it some thought. I told John to think about it. I know it's a holiday. People have plans, but I figure maybe we can do it 8, 9 o'clock, 1 hour. That's it.
Yeah, listen, even if something happens that he can't do it, I'm in.
All right, so we'll get it going. But right now we're going to kick it off. We're going to pretend this is the Sunday Audible. And we're going to have...
Is he here?
Yeah, he's there now. He just popped up. I'm always curious to see what...
He can hear us?
Huh?
He can hear us.
Yes,
right? Yes. I'll tell you right now, man, I'm full of it today. I'm going after everybody. So I'm going to start with him. If he comes on and he starts crying about the Steelers, I'm going to give it to him, man.
All right, well, he's smiling now. And I'm always curious to see what kind of headgear he's got on this week. But, of course, I'm talking about the top dog over at R4 Records and our brother from another mother, Mr. Johnny Marhefka. Johnny boy.
Tommy and Jeff, how are you guys?
Good,
what's
pal?
Up, John? How are you?
Jeff, you're always making me laugh, brother.
I got one question to start this off. John, have you gotten tired of our shtick all week long? It goes back. You know, now it used to be just me on text. Now he's going for the wider audience, and he's using the Facebook Messenger now. Are you getting tired of it yet?
I love it. I think it's funny. You guys have me laughing all day. I mean, there'll be times where I break out laughing, and Chrissy looks over and she goes, "What the hell are you laughing at?" It's like I'm laughing at air, but everybody that's listening, these two guys are extremely entertaining. I mean, just as much on the air as off the air, too. So we
probably more off the air, actually.
off the air is out of hand, that's for sure.
A lot of fun.
To be honest with you, I've been trying to, John, you strike me as a cool guy and everything, but I don't know exactly what your sense of humor is. So I don't want to say the wrong thing, and because the shit that me and Tommy say to one another when you're not in the text is like really bad. And some people would just be like, I can't be bothered talking to you guys because it gets out of hand. It's like, hey, what's up? Fuck you. And then it just goes off from there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, there are days.
You're going to see some shit.
Yeah, there's some days. It's like a 6:35. Listen, bitch, this is it. I'm tired of sitting back on it. And it could be either one of us. And you get where'd that come from?
One morning I'm at work, right? And my phone is going off. And I'm like, who the fuck is this? I had already texted my wife. I texted some other guy at work. And I see it's from Tommy. So, of course, I answer. I look at it. And it's just an attack. It's just a blatant attack. It's like, I'm sitting here minding my own business doing work. And it's like, he just came in. It's like, you motherfucker. And just started slapping the shit out of me. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And I even asked him, what this attack? And he goes, because I struck first. Fuck you.
Yeah, it's usually, I'm sitting at work and I get like five in a row from him. And I'm like, all right, today this is it. I'm going on the offensive. He's getting attacked before I get mine.
It hurts.
It's always Jets and Giants, too. I mean, it's every,
it is.
Every low blow you could possibly get between the two teams.
It's all we got, John. It's all we got. The low blows at this point. But John, I'm glad you cleared out some time for your busy schedule to talk a little football with us. We talk football on Sundays, but tonight we'll do a little something different. I want to kind of run through the league, kind of a halfway point, a report card of sorts. And we'll talk about some of the surprises in the league and some of the odd things are going on. But I want to give you guys a couple of news items that are bouncing around. And the first one is I'm shocked, and maybe it's because of who it is, but Aaron Rodgers is taking such a beating right now with the whole no vaccine. Maybe he was vaccinated, wasn't, they weren't sure, and gets COVID. And a lot of guys have gotten COVID, but this guy, John, seems to have taken a huge beating this week.
Well, just like anything else in this league, I mean, quarterback is the focus of 90% of the attention that goes on out there, it seems like. And, you know, with him being such a high-profile player, you know, the guy's won 3 MVP awards, league MVP awards. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's, you know, and what's bad about this too, guys, is he's doing this and he got, you know, infected and he's missing a game, you know, during, you know, a time where you need to keep winning. I mean, you need to. You know, you get the Chiefs coming in, and the Chiefs have been one of the most disappointing teams this year. I mean, you know, and for them to lose Aaron Rodgers, I mean, you take a loss here, you know, any loss that you take now is playoff positioning, and you want to have a game at home against, you know, with Green Bay. I mean, trying to have somebody come up there and try to win a game in a playoffs, you know, that's to a huge advantage to those guys.
Now, Jeff, people are ripping him apart, man, and I guess he's unvaccinated, but – you know, there are plenty of guys. Saquon Barkley's vaccinated, and he got COVID. He's out. Nobody's ripping Saquon Barkley. Is this a case because of it's Aaron Rodgers, and he seems to have taken a big hit in the offseason? Or is this?
I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, he didn't want to go to Green Bay, it seemed, like he was holding them hostage and, you know, everything else that he was doing. And then, you know, it kind of makes him the bad guy right there. You know, mm-hmm. for years, everybody thought Aaron Rodgers was a good guy when he was making his State Farm commercials. He seemed like a personable guy. And then all of a sudden, he doesn't want to go play in Green Bay anymore. And then he's coming up with these stupid-ass fucking commercials. Somebody buy this man a fucking bottle of shampoo, please, and get him a haircut. Tired of looking at this guy. That the new look is just not doing anything for me. Not that I give a shit what he looks like, but he just made it, making him look like an asshole. It makes him fit the part of the asshole. And... you know, once you open your mouth in the NFL, you get a certain attention drawn to you.
Right.
Oh, now here he is. He's got, you know, COVID. He's getting more attention drawn to himself. It was just starting to get quiet. John, you brought up a great point. You just beat an undefeated Arizona Cardinal team. So now you are the number one seed in the playoffs as of right now. Now you miss a game. You could have put some distance between you and the Cardinals. If the Cardinals win and you lose, they're back in number one spot.
Right.
So, you know, it's a bad time to get sick. And I understand that you could get COVID at any time. And he's hoping that overall he's okay and he rebounds quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to remember and think that, you know, there could be some ramifications for missing a game right now. It's an important time of the year. If they had a two-game cushion that they could afford to miss up a game, then okay, it is one thing. But, you know, It could be bite them back in the ass and come back to haunt them at the end of the year, without a doubt.
Oh, 100%. And you guys brought up commercials. I'll say, I'm going to ask this question. Who's has the better commercials? Was it Baker Mayfield or Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers, the early ones were good. Who's better now?
Fucking Baker, baby. It's gotta be
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, Baker's does better commercials than plays football at this point, I think.
His commercials are fucking awesome.
You know, let's stay on Baker for a second. I was going to bring it up later, but you know, what are you guys' thoughts on this controversy with Odell Beckham and the father doing the video? You know, whether he's right or wrong. I mean, at this point, he can't go back to that team, and OBJ's John is damaged goods.
He is. He's really done nothing there, Tommy. I mean, there's been nothing between him and Baker since he got there. You know, the guy's always hurt, too.
Uh-huh.
But even when he's healthy, I mean, if you watch what he's doing out on the field, he's not aggressive. He's not sharp in his routes. He he's not getting any separation from the DBs. He's not making it easy for Baker. I mean, now when you lose your quarterback's trust, and I think that's the stage he's at right now, you're not going to rebuild that. It takes a long way to come back from that. And right where he's at now, he needs to, he's hurting the team big time.
Oh, I would agree. And Jeff, I mean, you're looking at OBJ. He's a guy, his first year or two in the league, Most people had him on the fast track for the Hall of Fame, and it seems that, you know, his, you know, end of his Giant career was the end of his career in general. Do you think a guy like that could still bounce back? And what did you, what was your thoughts on the father and his relationship now with Baker and the team?
Honestly, I didn't know. I heard about it earlier. I did not know about he showed a clip of him wide open and they didn't throw him the ball.
Well,
or
his father put together a video showing all these plays where he was wide open or supposedly open and, you know, basically saying how, you know, my son's still a great player. They just don't throw him the ball.
Well, listen, he's a great player. There's no doubt in that. The guy has shown he has a lot of talent. He was also shown a big number on a piece of paper and he signed it.
Yep.
Now, there's no reason to play hard because he's getting this money. You know, you got to remember, when these guys sign these huge contracts like this, I don't remember the numbers that he got, so please don't ask me. I don't remember, but when they get these huge numbers, what's the sense? They're getting numbers no matter what. They're getting this money. It's already theirs. They don't have to play hard no more. They already played. They're playing for money. It's a money league. They don't care about a trophy anymore. There's no reason for them to care about getting their name on anything other than that check. And that's what they're there for. That's why you'll see guys that are playing for the Super Bowl this year, and then next year they're signing with the 1-16 Lions. You know, it's all about money. And Beckham, I feel as though that he falls into that category. He doesn't give a shit if they throw him the ball. He's not getting hit. He's not getting hurt, but he is getting paid. So what's more important for him? Evidently, he doesn't want to be on a trophy. He doesn't want to hold a trophy over his head or be a champion. If he did, he'd be playing like one instead of collecting money like one. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I just think I think Johnny, he read too much of his own press clippings back in the day, and you know he never took that next step. There was a guy who was on the cusp of being the next great receiver. Maybe he's on the wrong team, but you know.
What was the next step he was going to take, Tom? This guy was making catches that you could only imagine.
Yeah.
People couldn't even imagine, and he was making these catches. Awesome talent, but
consistency, Jeff. That's the next step. Consistency.
Well, consistency
doing it every year.
But he didn't want to do it.
No,
I think he can still do it. I just don't think he wants to do it.
No, I disagree. I think his days are done. I don't. You know, there's a guy. If he hung around for a few more years, it would be as a backup. It would be I think you lose the trust of the locker rooms, John. Wherever you wind up.
Well, he's definitely not going to stay with me.
No. Sure.
And he has so many weapons around him up there, too. And we talked about that in the chat. I mean, you know, a receiver is, in Beckham's style, is the guy that, you know, kind of needs those, you know, core pieces around him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need that tight end to open up the middle of the field. You need, you know, at least when Jarvis Landry's healthy. I mean, Jarvis Landry gets – you know, maybe 10 targets a game,
and
Odell's getting 3 or 4.
Guys, excuse me.
It's crazy, though. I mean, you know, the way that works. And those guys have a great running game up there. Offensive line is one of the better ones in the league, if not, you know, one of the top five in the league.
You know,
so really, there's no excuses here.
No, and I think, John, sometimes, though, you know, when people start putting and I said it when it happened, and they started bringing in Landry, and you know, there's only so many football. There's only so many plays in the game when you got, you know, Chubb and Hunt and Njoku, and then you got Landry, and you got Odell, you know, and there's other guys. You there's only so many footballs that you can put out there, you know, and sometimes it's just a sense of, well, if they ain't throwing me the ball, I ain't running. And guys get hurt a lot up there, and that team's underperformed, and we'll get to them during our run through the league. But for Beckham, you know, where does he go now? I mean, listen, there's a lot of teams that need receivers right now. Obviously right now the Raiders could use a big receiver. They don't have anybody who could stretch the field. So I think there's a good possibility he winds up there. Washington, Green Bay, Tennessee. You know, there's a lot of teams that could use some help out there, John. You have a thought on where he might show up, or do you think he's out the rest of the year?
I don't know. We discussed it earlier, and, you know, the Raiders are the fit for me, you know, with the Ruggs situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, really, who's going to take on that role right now for those guys?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you're looking at, Hunter Henry, obviously, is a good – Hunter Renfro, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He's a key guy, but he's a slot guy. You know, you have Darren Waller, obviously, but, you know, you're looking at a tight end.
They need those, but those guys need a guy over the top to take to spread that field and give them the lanes in the slot. When they don't have a guy who can open up the field deep for them, it's a different ball game for them. Now they're trying to make their own room in there where they're running to room otherwise.
Right. I mean, you know, and looking at where he could fit, I mean, you know, the Jets are a fit.
Yeah.
You know, they need help on the outside. I mean, you got some good young guys out there. I mean, you got Crowder that's doing pretty well. But
don't you have to be careful, though, John? Bringing a guy like Beckham in with his personality and his baggage, don't you think, you know, a young team is going to be reluctant? Maybe a team that's full of veterans could deal with a guy like that. Don't you think that maybe some of that you have to be very careful where he lands?
Yeah, it's going to take a special coach too, Tommy. And has to have that culture and somewhere where he's going to be a guy that right off the bat is going to need to see the ball too. He's one of those, you know, he's going to cry if he's not getting the touches. He's, you know, he's going to cause problems. So, you know, I didn't see that him in the beginning, but now it's just, he blossomed into, you know, one of our favorites, obviously.
Let's move on to the interesting trade this week, Jeff, and Von Miller going from Denver, guy who's, you know, obviously going to wind up probably in the Hall of Fame someday and sure as shit will be in the Ring of Honor, gets traded for 2-3 and Denver paid $9.5 million to get him off the team. And I know why now. I did a little research. But, you know, Jeff, this puts the target squarely on the Rams' back.
Well, first of all, what was the reason why they wanted to get him out of town?
Well, here's why. You can't trade a draft picks for money. So let's say you want draft picks, you can't trade that for dollars. So what they did was they traded Von Miller, and they paid the $9.5 million that they would have had to pay him regardless. So if they had released him at the end of the year or at any point, they would have had to pay him $9 million. So what they did is they gave that money to the Broncos. The Broncos get the player, and they can get their two draft picks back because you can't trade money for draft picks.
Jeez.
So that's why they're not, because I was confused. Why are they paying the $9 million? They would have to pay it anyway. If they didn't make the trade, and at the end of the year they weren't going to bring him back, they would have had to give him $9 million anyway.
Certainly, I guess points Denver towards a rebuild. That's one thing. We don't know what their situation of quarterback is going to be for next year.
I think this is for a quarterback.
Well, when I say that, I mean that, you know, they're evidently not going with Bridgewater.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know which way they're going to go. And evidently Locke is not the answer. So they're going to have a different quarterback on the roster next year.
Yeah.
But listen, I guess it seems like Denver either is in contention for the Super Bowl or they suck.
Yeah.
Well, this year they were kind of in the middle.
Well,
so they decided to choose a different path and just, you know, go towards a rebuild. And, you know, I mean, come on, dude, you know it yourself. Denver is either 8-0 or
0-8.
You know what I mean? There is no in between for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And now, John, L.A., you know, obviously looking to play the Super Bowl in their home stadium. They put the Limelight Square on themselves. They've got now Aaron Donald and Floyd, and obviously not the same Von Miller we used to from a few years ago, but a guy who's one on one can give you some help. This puts the target right on LA's back. They have this is to me puts them in the lead. I think this makes them the team to beat.
Yeah, I go.
I agree, Tommy. You know, you got Aaron Donald too, and you haven't really seen, you know, the greatness of Aaron Donald this year. And I watch these guys, and I mean, the guys he's getting double teamed every play, triple teamed. You know, I mean, they'll have two linemen on him and a back over the top when he comes in. But if you bring in a guy like Von Miller, that kind of frees up a little bit of space for everybody, which is what they're looking to do. I mean, defense is there, you know, but I agree with you. That's the target right there. I mean, if you want to be, you know, the top team in the NFC and you're going to take on a guy like that, bring in a guy like that, then that vaults you right to the top.
Yeah. Jeff, you say something.
You know, totally agree. It's, you know, one better way to free up some people, even if Von Miller is three quarters of the player that he once was And even if Aaron Donald isn't the player that he once was, all you're doing now is showing respect for two different players now when you're going up against them. And, you know, it's going to take another body. So this gives a chance for a third or fourth person to emerge from that defense. You know, yes. Plus, I mean, they got they still have Hurts, right, as their quarterback, a cornerback. Was it Jalen
Ramsey?
Jalen Ramsey. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, they got a pretty decent secondary.
Yeah.
They got a linebacker, and then now they got somebody in the front four with Donald. You know, if they play it right, this could be a pretty unstoppable team come the playoffs. Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
Keep getting, because of Joe Flynn, keep fucking him up. You know, he's playing good. You know, this is a team. They may be the team to beat in the NFC. They may be the team to beat, period. Because nobody from the AFC is really stepping up, showing me much so far.
We're going to go over that in about 5 minutes. So, but, yeah, I agree with you on that, Jeff. I agree that, you know, right now the best teams to me are easily in the NFC, at least the top few teams. So we'll run through it. I do want to get a couple. Surprising games this past weekend. The Saints somehow beating Tampa Bay. So it was an interesting game for me, John. I thought that Tom Brady played one of his worst games that I've seen in a long time. And I thought Sean Payton did a nice job. First, he loses Jameis Winston, who wasn't playing great but playing well enough. And they win the game with Trevor Siemian, finishing the game with quarterback. It was been an interesting season and another game where you just kind of – and, by the way, the Jets are on 2-5 Jets against the 3-5 Indianapolis Colts. And Mike White just missed throwing a pick six. He should be to go out there and shake that guy's hand. Anyway, interesting games last week, John. Give me a little thoughts on last week's games for us.
Well, you brought up one that I was surprised at. I mean, you knew the Saints were going to play them tough at home.
Yeah.
But I think the one thing that I really saw in that game was, you know, Brady starting to show a little cracks. And I was surprised at that. I mean, it was, you know, Sean Payton in that defense, disguising the coverages, you know, obviously. But there was a couple really bad reads that Brady made. And you know, we haven't seen him make it, you know, since he's taken over at quarterback. As a starter,
yeah.
I mean, from New England all the way through here, I was surprised at that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like I said, I think there's a couple of coaches. I think Sean Payton's done some of his best work this year. Obviously, no Drew Brees and all that stuff. Imagine, you know, all those guys. And I think Bill Belichick, Jeff, you know, as much as you guys don't like him, you know, Bill's got that team, you know, hanging around at 4-4. They could have won the Cowboy game. They could be 5-3 right now. Playing good football with a young quarterback. You know, Jeff, this might be Bill's best coaching job in a long time.
It might be, but right now, as it stands, he's probably out of the playoffs, so that's cool with me. I couldn't care less.
He's far from out of the playoffs at this point. Far from it.
He's not. If the season was to end right now, he'd be out.
I have to beg different with you on that, Jeff. Listen, there's three wild cards, right? They're 4-4. The next best team is you have 3-5. There's one 5-3 team, another 4-3 team.
I gotta fucking get to the playoffs, man.
I'm telling you right now, right now the season ended. They would have a shot at a wild card right now.
They have a shot at a wild.
No. I'm telling you, they would probably be the third wild card right now. If the season ended right now.
Yeah, you're right. Fuck me.
I'm telling you, this may be his best. And that's why I hate the third wild card, Johnny. I keep saying it. Too many wild cards, too many teams. But, yeah, 4-4, they're right there, Jeff, to get there. And the players, this might be Bill's best job.
Well, listen, for years, Tom Brady didn't get hurt. He's hoping that fucking Mac Jones shreds some ligaments in his fucking shoulder or knee or something. Whatever. Hopefully, Belichick, I'd love to see him regulated to being in one of them little fucking scooters on the sideline and then some fucking 300-pound to get pushed into him.
All right, let's run through the league and see where we're at. We're going to do run through the divisions. We're going to do contenders and pretenders. I'm going to ask you guys for your midseason MVPs and your biggest surprises, good and bad. All right, so here we go. Guys, AFC East, we're going to kick it off with a little surprise in this division other than 5-2 Buffalo is, John, not exactly playing as well as I thought they would play this year. There is a little inconsistency. What is around the league? What are your thoughts on the AFC and Buffalo?
I still think Buffalo's a team to beat in the AFC. I mean, I don't understand what happened in the Miami game. I was watching it. They were so out of sync.
Yeah.
I mean, they, you know, especially Josh Allen, you know, throwing balls in the dirt.
Yeah.
They really just couldn't get in a groove. I mean, at home. And that could be something, you know, coming off that bye week, you know, that loss to the Titans, which was, you know, that was a bad loss. But, you know, they're still a team to beat. You know, and I think, like you said, Tommy, it's like this throughout the league. It's parity at its finest. I mean, we don't know. We talk on the Sunday shows and we make our picks. I mean, right now, you could pick, other than Detroit, I mean, we picked Detroit over the 76 Buccaneers and Eagles.
That's where it's super true. It's super true, Jeff. You know, the AFC East is kind of where I thought it would be, except I thought Miami would be better, but I thought Buffalo would be more consistent. Jeff, do you have any?
I felt as though that Buffalo would have been a different team, but you know what? I'm looking at it right now, and the different point differential is 120 points in their favor.
Yeah.
So, you know, that they're evidently playing well on offense and playing. They've only given up 109 on defense. But yet, you know, three games over 500, and we're questioning them as if they're real or not. But overall in that division, you know, you're right. Miami at 1-7.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who would have expected this? We were expecting them to give the Bills a fight for the top position, or at least be in the wild card. And we thought that maybe New England may even be in last place. But, you know, it's a shame that the team like Miami that looked like they were making strides and didn't. And New England just keeps putting along and seems to be doing better with a rookie quarterback than they did with Cam Newton last year. As far as the Jets go, this is a big game for them. I don't see them, even if they win a couple, I don't see them being in playoff contention. But it would be nice to see them win and see that Saleh is at least doing what he was hired to do and try to turn this ship around. But, yeah, I could go along the way the division is right now. I could see it finishing, you know, staying that way through the end of the season.
All right, let's move on to the AFC North, John's favorite hangout. We got Baltimore 5-2, Sydney, surprising Cincinnati Bengals 5-3, the rebounding Steelers at 4-3, and the underachieving Jets, the underachieving Cleveland Browns. This is an odd division. This may be the best division in football, Jeff, with the resurgence of the Cincinnati Bengals. And the Steelers playing better, Jeff. Give me your quick thoughts on the AFC North.
They're kind of up and down. Baltimore somehow slips through the cracks to me. They're not a dominant team in my eyes, but they just happen to win. I don't like the idea of, like, we've discussed this before, of, like, Lamar Jackson.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't want a quarterback like that.
I agree.
Who's going to be able to run so much, because sooner or later he's going to get hurt. He's going to get fucked up. I like Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. It's nice to see them start to win again. I think Burrow is going to be a big guy in this conference, in this league, for a number of years. John, I'm sorry. Pittsburgh, I mean, yeah, they won three in a row, but, you know, who are the real Steelers? Are they ones that lost three of their first four or whatever it was, and or the Steelers now that won three in a row? And as far as Cleveland goes, you know, not for nothing, they're in last place, but they're a 500 team.
Right.
So, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. That whole division could probably get into the playoffs right now if the season was to end. So even Cleveland in last place.
Yeah, no, listen, John, Jeff's got a good point. You know, this is a division that could have three wild cards out of it, even with two teams in it that are probably playing disappointing football and one surprising team. This is still a very competitive division, John.
It is. I mean, and these teams with the, you know, they know each other very well. I mean, it's been rivalries throughout the ages. I mean, but, you know, Cincinnati has been impressive. I mean, other than the loss last week, you know, these guys have played good in, you know, all three phases. I mean, you know, Burrow's been tight. You know, Chase, obviously, as a receiver, has been lights out. You know, they don't have an answer for him yet anyway. But, you know, it's a really good team. They're running the ball. They're playing good defense, not making as many mistakes. And really, that's where it comes down to. I mean, when a team gets a little more established and, you know, the veterans start kicking in and they get the cohesion, you know, these guys are, you know, you win games that you should normally lose, that they would normally lose. So, Yeah, they've been impressive, that's for sure.
John, this is a question more for you than Tommy, but who's the best quarterback in that division right now, in your eyes?
I have to say Burrow is.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I mean, I think Lamar Jackson, you know, the guy wins because of his athletic ability.
Yeah.
Not because of, you know, being a great quarterback or anything. I mean, you take away, you know, the tight end, and you take away, you know, the running game, you know, which they don't have the running game right now, but, you know, he still makes plays with his legs. I think eventually when you get further into the season and into the playoffs, you know, defenses, you know, they put the game on his shoulders and force him to win. And I think that's what's going on with, you know, Cleveland and Mayfield right now. I don't see, you know, Baker making enough plays. You know, obviously they scored 10 points last week. You know, they've been totally out of sync the entire season.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't just say it's because Kareem Hunt's out, because, you know, everybody else has been in and he's just not making plays.
Yeah, I think their problem is they need to rely – honestly, it's a problem. They need to live and die with their running game and then let the passing game catch up, kind of like what Tennessee does. And their backs have been beat up the last few weeks, and I think it's hurt them. But they've been inconsistent all year, so I'm not going to give them a pass on this. I expected that team to win this division and make a run for a serious playoff run this year. And I don't know if it's Baker's hurt. I don't know what the issues are. Sometimes teams' chemistry just doesn't work. But so far, this team has underperformed, and it's going to be one of my teams that I'll tell you that is the surprise bad teams of the year, and we'll get to that a bit later. But a good division, and Jeff, to your point, you could see at least two wild cards out of this division. If not, you could fight for a third out of this one. That would be pretty funny.
Yeah, listen, we don't know what's going to happen, but, I mean, we've discussed this a few years back with the AFC West, me, you, and the Half-Man. And it ended up we barely had a division winner.
Yes.
Turned out so bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're looking at everything based on today, where we are today. And right now, when you have the whole division at 500, the only other division, believe it or not, at 500 is the AFC West. But
yes.
I don't think I could compare those teams to the teams in the AFC North.
No, that's why I say it's probably the best division right now because – by the way, the Jets are down 6-0. Jonathan Taylor's just scored on a 30-yard run. It's not been the best start to the game for the Jets, but it's still very early, obviously. Yeah, again, I give the AFC North right now one of probably the best AFC division for sure, maybe in all of football. Let's drop down to the AFC South, John, with its somewhat surprising Tennessee Titans, although, you know, they've been a playoff team the last few years. You know, they've got nothing out of Julio Jones. Derrick Henry's out now. They're probably going to win that division at this point. Indianapolis at 3-4.
You don't know. You don't know. Go on, but you don't know because Indianapolis wins tonight. Now that they're going to be two and a half games out of first place, Derrick Henry being gone and Julio Jones not catching on, that makes this a completely different.
I agree wholeheartedly with Jacksonville and Houston being nothing but playing for the drafts, John. You know, this is a division that hasn't been good in a while. But this is a little surprising that basically, you know, three teams under 500, the Colts are just starting to play decent football.
Yeah, if you guys had a chance to watch the Colts the last couple of weeks, they've looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they should have won last week. Just, you know, just sloppy, you know, mistakes like at the end, you know, Wentz throwing that interception down at the goal line and the guy walking in for the TD. But they came right back and scored immediately after that. You know, it just seems like they're just missing just a little bit. That's a really good team. I'm with Jeff on this too. I mean, you can't count these guys out yet. They win it tonight, and you know, Tennessee falters. I mean, they don't have Henry at running back. You know, so that puts more on Tannehill, and I'd be willing to, you know, bet on the Colts right now.
You're going to see the real Tannehill right now.
Yeah,
you're going to see if he's
right.
The real
good point.
Or if it was the run support and everything else he had.
Good point.
If Julio Jones decides that he could play and plays like the Julio Jones of old, even for now the second half of the season, you know, this is a team. And Wentz has to stay healthy. Not Wentz. I mean, Wentz has to stay healthy for the Colts.
Right.
I just don't see it for the Titans. They just don't do nothing.
I tell you the truth. I think you both hit it on the head. I think the Colts are by default the better team. Not, and again, I think Wentz has to stay out of the way and not make the stupid plays. I think the identity of the Tennessee Titans are gone. That power running game, you know, I don't care if they put Adrian Peterson in the game or not at 37 years old. You're not getting the same production, and you can't ride that guy like you rode Derrick Henry. And yes, Jeff, to your point, you know, Ryan Tannehill lives on the play action pass because he's got a running back who everybody's damn afraid of. So, you know, interesting division, not the best one, but I think the last couple of weeks, the second half of the season is going to be interesting with these two teams, guys.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, let's drop down the AFC West, another interesting division. Teddy Two Gloves starts off 3-0. They're 1-4 since. Kansas City's a mess. Anything's possible. Turning around the underachieving. I'm gonna say underachieving. They started out 4-1. They've lost their last couple games. I thought it was a good football game with New England. Then New England played one of their best games of the year. And the surprising Raiders. And the question I have is, can the Raiders survive another controversy? Can they come across country? Down another player, Jeff, I'll go to you first on this. You know, this is what should be a much better division with the Raiders, Chargers, and Kansas City, and yet, everybody's above 500 or at 500. I don't get a great feeling out of this division, Jeff.
Deceiving numbers.
Yep.
Deceiving numbers, without a doubt. I will add this about the Raiders, okay? I don't know if you guys, how much you've been following this, but I read just a couple articles. 2 seconds before impact, he was doing 156 miles an hour in a vet.
Yes.
Okay. When his airbags deployed, the car was doing 127 miles an hour and spun out of control after impact over 500 feet. The car skidded out of control before it finally came to a stop. Okay. This other girl, the poor girl and her dog, done, finished, as we know. His girlfriend seriously injured, and he was all fucked up, being belligerent and hanging out of the car, and probably lucky to be alive considering he was driving a vet. Unbelievable. And I agree with you, Tommy. What more could this team survive? Is this the Cinderella team, and who's going to be left of it by the time we're not even at the halfway point, and he already lost a coach and a star player? You know,
yeah.
But it's almost like you're waiting for the wheels to come off, and they're trying to oblige everybody by doing what they can, and it's just not happening. Right now, I mean, I don't have trust in any other of these teams in this division. I have to say that in my eyes, it's got to be the Raiders division right now because I just don't see the Chargers are faltering, I believe. Kansas City, unless they turn it on and start to play like the Kansas City of old, I don't see it. And Denver, by giving up Von Miller, to me, they're giving up on the season,
yes.
I think.
Yep.
That's
Yeah, they threw in the towel, John. That's easy to say there. I think the biggest surprise, I mean, obviously Kansas City's a big surprise, but I think the Chargers the last couple of games, how they've regressed a little bit, has been surprising.
Yeah, I think Jeff had a really good really good take on this division. You know, and you watch San Diego, you think, you know, Herbert, you know, obviously, I mean, he's a great quarterback, great young quarterback. Tons of weapons, and you know you don't know what you get from them week in and week out. It's you know you saw them great guns, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, looked like the team to beat in the division, dominating, you know, and played great defense, and then you see the next two games and they're nowhere to be found, you know,
yeah.
Turning the ball over, you know, and things like that, and the Raiders, I mean, you know, like Jeff said, are they going to be able to overcome, you know, another star player loss? And I think that really comes down to it. This team, you know, runs through Derek Carr. And I think the guy, you know, going through what he's gone through is still playing at a high level. He's one of those quarterbacks where you look at this league and you think his name's never mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, but he's a great player. He's one of those guys that's a sleeper. And I think if they can actually corral this and keep it going the way that they're doing right now, you know, that they're the team to beat in this division for sure.
Yeah, I think Jeff brought the good point. If I was a betting man and picking somebody in the division, I'd almost have to go to the Raiders, except I'm a little nervous on what's going to happen after this whole controversy and who takes that spot and can they rebound. So I think Jeff's got a great point. And the guys, Hard Rockin' Sports, Jeff and myself, and we're joined by our good friend John Marhefka, who, by the way, tune in on Sundays. You can see John and us all talking football on the Sunday Audible show every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. So make sure the likes are getting big. So come on, guys, keep it going. and come on every Sunday. We talk football for 2 hours. We're joined every week by our good friend Rafael Esparza from mybookie.ag.com. And every so often we get some special guests, and I'm hoping to have one this Sunday. I won't know until Saturday. But, yeah, I mean, listen, that's let's move on to the NFC, guys. I want to get to everything. We'll start the East. It's surprising, Cowboys, guys, and I'll say surprising because I'm surprised how well their defense has played. I don't think it's a mirage, and I'll tell you, I think it was a great sign when they won that game. I know it's Minnesota. They won a big game without Dak Prescott, was able to keep him off the field and let him get healthy, and Cooper Rush found a way to win the game, although I think Minnesota just is a dog team. But other than that, you have a dog division. The Eagles at 3-5, miracles. They've won some games. Washington's defense has disappeared this year, and the Giants have been inconsistent and bad. So, I mean, John, this division is the Cowboys to win it. I don't see you getting anybody else out of this division, and I think there could be some big shakeups in this division to come next year.
I agree, Tommy. And you know, watching Dallas, like you said, the defense, I mean, these guys have been playing lights out. And that was their Achilles heel, too. I mean, yeah, Dak Prescott was putting up a ton of points.
Yeah.
And these guys just couldn't hold the lead. But, you know, the other teams in this division, you're looking at, the Redskins, as we always got to call them.
Absolutely.
You know, what's up with these guys? I mean, they played Green Bay lights out. It's a game they should have won, couldn't do anything in a red zone. And then last week they looked like, the football team of old, and they couldn't get out of their own way. The problems in the red zone again. And Philly with Detroit, too. I mean, we thought Detroit was actually going to take
one. I had it in my picks for the day. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they steamrolled them.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like any other division. We don't know what we have here. You know, it's a crapshoot week in and week out, except for Dallas. I don't know. I mean, Dallas obviously is one of the better teams in the league. I mean, their defense has looked lights out. And Dak really, I mean, injured last week, obviously, but you know, the guy's a leader. I mean, he brought this team. He carries it on his shoulders. He's poised. You know, they like playing for the guy, and I think that's one of the main things in this league. You've got a guy that
he's a fucking real quarterback. That's what it is. He's a real quarterback in the NFC.
Right. There we go.
He may be the only quarterback in the NFC East.
There we go. There we go.
Maybe the best quarterback the NFC East has seen in the last 20 years.
Here we go. What a playoff game. What a playoff game.
Why get my chance now?
What a playoff game. Then talk to him. Go ahead. Closet. Yeah, what a playoff game.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Right, let's put it this way, okay? Philadelphia, I'm surprised they've even won 3 games. They may be one of the worst teams in the league that nobody's even talking about right now. You know what I mean? It's just somehow they kind of chug along. And they're 3-5, But I just don't like them. I don't like the makeup of the team. I just don't like the team. The Washington Redskins, I think that there's so much wrong with this team. You know, they're so, like, they don't even have a name. How could the fuck could you go out there? What team do you play for? The Washington football team. Well, we're in the Washington football team. We're going to explain that one. Well, we used to be the Redskins, but we can't say Redskins anymore, so we're the Washington football team. We get our new name next year. You know, it's just sad. It's just sad. And then you got the Giants. And you know, we've discussed
this.
Here we go.
I'm waiting.
You know it. I lay all blame on this on Gettleman. That's all I could say.
He's a broken record.
Is a horrendous general manager. He should be stripped of his duties, taken out in the field at dawn, and shot and left his body there for the fucking crows to eat all the fucking pieces off the fat bastard. The guy is a fucking disgrace and has ruined a fucking proud organization, Tommy. Ruined it. I blame him. I blame him.
Are you done? Let me know when you're done. Just say I'm done.
I have a few more I blame him. That's all. I blame him. It's horrendous. This is a team. A New York team should never be this far under for this long, regardless if it's the Jets, Mets, Islanders, Rangers, Giants, whoever. And once again, a long line of general managers that ain't done shit. And that's all I got to say about this guy. I blame him.
The Jets have tied the game up on the 19-yard touchdown from Mike White to Moore on a broken coverage, but a tie score, and the Jets kick off again. All right, let's move on. I don't have any energy left for that. I just thought that, you know, what are you, Jet, Adam? The NFC North, again, another division where it's the Packers, and I'm not overly impressed. Minnesota is a shit team. That quarterback, that coach, it's time to blow that whole thing up. Bears, again, 3-5. The defense that was vaunted a couple years ago is nowhere to be found, and they still having quarterback issues there. And I love this team, the 0-8 Lions. Unfortunately, I took them as my out on a limb this week, John, and I'm a little surprised. But again, this is a division where it's just Green Bay and everybody else.
It really is. It really is, Tommy. And it was, you know, when you look at the Vikings, you know, we talked about this in the chat.
Yeah.
You know, Kirk Cousins, you know, that guy, you know, has maybe in the beginning of the season, he'll have like two or three great games. He's got all the weapons you could ask for. And, you know, you thought that defense would come together. It's just, I really don't know what it is up there. I mean, it's obviously coaching is part of the problem.
Yep.
You know, the guys, they're lethargic every time they come out. You don't know what you're going to get. But Cousins is, you know, he's one of those guys that he got his money. You know, he was just in the right place at the right time. But he has too many weapons up there, and there's too many good players on that team to be faltering like this.
Yeah.
It just makes no sense.
Yeah, tough division, Jeff. I, you know, again, one of those divisions where I don't see a wild card coming from here without a major run. And Green Bay could just keep putting the same team on the field, and nobody's getting better, Jeff.
Well, you know what? Listen, I agree with you. Green Bay has definitely got the division almost, I'd say, all but locked up. But let's look at one stat, the differential, real quick. I like to use this fact. Right now, the Green Bay Packers are only plus 25. The Minnesota Vikings are plus 6. The Chicago Bears and their, you know, talented defense are minus 72, and the greatest 0-8 football team, according to some people. I'm not mentioning any names of the YouTube guys, so I'm not going to embarrass you.
I've been on the wagon all year. I'll tell you right now, I've been on that bandwagon.
They're minus 110. This is a horrendous fucking football team. They've only scored 134 points in 8 games. But I'll tell you the truth. You know what? You know, even Dallas with only a 25-point differential after 8 games, they're averaging 3 points a win or more, basically. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're not that dangerous of a team. I just think they've been kind of lucky, if you look at it that way. A team that's – they've given up 167 points. They only scored 192. You know, that's it's not that much of a difference, man.
No,
it really isn't.
No, I got you. I couldn't agree with you more, guys.
Still that division to win. I don't see a wild card coming out of that.
Definitely. No, I would agree with that 100%. And let's move on to the NFC South. We got a lot to get to, and time's running short. Tampa Bay still the team to beat. I mean, the NFC has a few good teams, but not playing great football the last few weeks. The surprising Saints, again, I keep saying, I think Sean Payton, Jeff, has done his best coaching job of the year of his career, maybe, with this 5-2 team, Dragan, Jameis Winston, and now Trevor Siemian. Although I did hear that Phillip Rivers is volunteering to come out of retirement to come play, which I think, he's coaching high school football, but he's ready to step on the field. And that says a lot if they were to sign Phillip Rivers. But, you know, Trevor Siemian is your guy. I don't know, but. Carolina started out again, same as
imagine signing Phillip Rivers,
yeah,
right? When Cam Newton was let go, and nobody's even talking about him. You have Trevor Siemian, what's that? A Taysom Hill?
Yeah, Taysom Hill.
And now you're probably going to get a roly-poly out of shape fucking Phillip Rivers.
It's very possible.
In here, unbelievable.
Yeah, and then the dog Panthers and a team that can't win without the. Can't seem to win without Christian McCaffrey. They did sneak a win out of Atlanta this week. And Atlanta team that should have been blown up years ago needs to be blown up. Now, John, this is an interesting division, probably a two-team race, obviously. You got to give Sean Payton his due. 5-2, this team should never be anywhere. No Michael Thomas, no Drew Brees. Jameis goes down, and they're still 5-2.
And the thing is, too, Tommy, they're not making mistakes.
Yeah.
They're playing good defense. I mean, he's, you know, normally it was, you know, they go in and score 40 points on Breeze and everybody else just had to keep up with them and try to outscore them.
But, right.
You know, the defense now is rock solid. He's doing a great job. I mean, you can see the team is very disciplined, too. Making a lot of mistakes. You know, those guys, I mean, when you look at those guys at quarterback, it's laughable. You know, to think that they're even starters in this league, let alone on a 5-2 team. I just, you know, it amazes me.
Yeah, that's
it really does.
That's why I think Sean Payton's done a great. I'm not a huge Sean Payton fan, but I'd say this year he's done his best job. 5-2 with this bunch.
They may be the most stealth 5-2 team in the league right now. You know, I thought that maybe they were 4-4. I didn't even know that they were 5-2, 5-3 maybe at best. But, I mean, they didn't play that other game, so they can't be, you know, 5-3. But I didn't know that they were 5-2. And that close, what are they, game out of
one
first
game.
Place?
One game.
You know, unbelievable.
And just beat the division. So
that's big.
Yeah.
Do I think that they're going to win that division? No. But there is a good chance that they could be a wild card team.
Yeah.
To go with that. Because in the NFC, it seems that you're either a top team or you're a bottom feeder. There is no really in between. They may be the most in-between team in the AFC. I mean, the NFC, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, they would be one of the wild cards right now if the season ended today. I think they're the second wild card. The Rams would be a wild card. And then, it would be New Orleans would be the second wild card.
And then what does that tell you about about the Chargers, that Philip Rivers would come back and play with the Saints, play for the Saints, but he wouldn't have spent the extra year in L.A. with the Chargers?
Listen, you're retired. You're retired. I don't know why he would even talk about coming back at this point.
In this league, because it was allowed to happen.
Sure.
And and now the door is open. You know what? I don't want to play with these guys no more. Fuck it. I retire. Stay home a year, rest, hang out with the wife. Then you find out that, you know what? The wife is in my hair constantly. I'm not going anyplace. This is it. I'll go play over there. I'm going over there to play Steven Slater. You know, it is what it is.
That's it.
Yeah. Listen, no doubt. We'll see if Phillip Rivers makes a return. Right now they have an interesting game. I think, are they off this week, the Saints? The Saints, nope. Let me see. Hold on a second. New Orleans gets a break. They get a home game with Seattle. So, you know, you can probably try Jeff out there and get a win this week. Tampa's off. So, you know, this is a half game next week possibly. Now, again, this season's crazy, John. You never know who's winning week to week. They could turn around now after beating Tampa next this week, lose to Atlanta. You just don't know, John.
You know what, guys? We just talked about, you know, the entire NFC, and if we look at one of the points, and it kind of ties back to Aaron Rodgers and COVID again, was all the teams that are leading these divisions right now are indoor teams. They play indoors. You know, so for Green Bay to lose a spot here, you know, you honestly think about can the Saints go up to Green Bay and win in Lambeau in bad weather? Could any of these teams really? I mean, you know, so him
– Tampa. I'll give Tampa because it's you got a veteran quarterback. He's done it. Yeah, but no, I agree with you. None of these teams, not the Rams, not the Cardinals, none of these teams are going into January, late January at this point, and winning a game in 20-degree weather. It's not happening.
Right. It's you know, it's crazy. But you said, like you said, Tommy, I mean, Tampa – obviously, with Brady and his experience outdoors, but you know the guy can play anywhere.
Yep.
So you know, but I mean, can Dak Prescott go up to Lambeau and win a game? Can you know? Can Matt Stafford do it with that team? Can you know? Can the Saints go up with whoever they're going to start? And it's a big loss. I mean, if Green Bay loses because he's not there, you know, and goes a game back, it's going to mean a lot at the end of the season.
Oh yeah.